Message number 24 on the Epistle of John. Beloved radio friends, in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus, we heartily and warmly welcome you again to the broadcast. It is once again our privilege and joy to dwell upon the love of God and the love that God's children should manifest as we continue our study in 1 John chapter 4. Would to God that every one of us would turn to the pages of divine inspiration to know the meaning of true love. For the Word of God alone will tell us what is real abiding love. There are many definitions of love in the world today. Most of them indicate an emptiness, a shallowness that is completely devoid of depth and reality. We must get back to God to know what love is in its purity, in its quality, and in its reality. The love that is so greatly needed today even amongst God's children. The love that the world needs to know is not the outward, sentimental, human affection that passes for love in this world. For the source of true love is God Himself. Listen to the words that John now writes in chapter 4 of his first epistle in verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. One of the many attributes, an eternal quality, belonging to God's character, is love. But let us not forget that God has many divine attributes. Beside this one, God is light, God is life, God is holy, God is true, God is righteous. And God, thanks be to his name, is true to his character, whatever he may be described as being. But John the Apostle, in our epistle, is seeking to provoke God's children to display and to reflect that blessed divine quality of God's love, both in them and through them, toward all others, and particularly, of course, to the children of God in the family of God. John says God's children have known, and they have believed God's love. Have they not found it declared over and over again in his precious word? Have not the very familiar words of John 3:16 alone indelibly testified of God's love for us, even for the whole world? For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We know it. We have believed it, we who are Christians. It has proved to us, definitely, completely, and eternally, God is love. Now, my sinner friend, who may be unsaved at this moment, may I say God loves you? The evidence, the eternal proof of that love is the death for your sins of his beloved Son upon the cross. You can believe it now if you will. May I repeat a blessed truth about the declaration of God's love as you find it in the Word of God, wherever you read of it in the New Testament. Whenever you read a scripture declaring God's love, you will invariably find the mention of the death of his Son within the context. Let me give you an example. Romans 5, verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Again, the root foundation of God's love, to be manifested and exhibited by Christians, is that love which God displayed in its perfection upon the cross, when he gave his only begotten Son. May I raise this question to my heart, to yours, my fellow believer. How can I properly love my fellow Christian? How can I show love even to the unsaved sinners? Unless, first of all, I have tasted and am enjoying God's own love for my soul through the death of his dearly beloved Son. It is this reason that John has written in verse 17 of this chapter 4 of 1 John, as well as verse 18. Herein is our love made perfect, meaning complete, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because feareth torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Now this is God's love of which John is writing, the love which is the nature of God, his nature properly produced in our own hearts by the Holy Spirit. And John is speaking of it in its complete result within the believer's heart and within the believer's life. It is made perfect. His love is made perfect in us, John says. And if the love of God is operating by the Holy Spirit in my life as God's child, his love will be perfected, completed, made real in my testimony. And furthermore, and here is what I wish you particularly to notice, my fellow believer, I will not fear the judgment seat of Christ. I will not fear the judgment seat of Christ. For have we not read very carefully that his love is made perfect, our love is made perfect, that we may have boldness when? In the day of judgment. Have no fear when we meet our Lord to be appraised before him and by him. I shall not fear the judgment seat of Christ when with all saints I may stand before him to be appraised. If I will now live a devoted life entirely for Christ, motivated daily and momentarily by God's love within me, by the Holy Spirit's enabling power, showing by my words and by my deeds that I love God, that I love his children, that I seek to have his love motivate me in all my ways, shall I not then have boldness in that day when I shall stand before my Lord to have my life upon the earth appraised for his approval? Please may I put this before my fellow believers. I need this truth myself. God wants to perfect his love in us. He wants his love to so control our hearts and beings and lives. And if it does so, if his love so controls us, when we stand before the Lord at the judgment seat for the believer, for his appraisal, I shall not be ashamed. I shall have his approval. This kind of a life, a Christ-like life, will never make me ashamed at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, my fellow Christian, I want to make a very clear expression to you. It is possible for you and for me to feel very much ashamed when we stand before the Lord. I wonder if any of you may remember in chapter 2, at the end of that chapter, in verse 28 particularly, the beloved apostle pleaded with the children, even the infants in the family of God, to be so faithful to God and his truth, that when the Lord came, we shall not be ashamed before him at his coming. My fellow believer, I want to tell you frankly, I must be blunt, I must be truthful to my soul and to my Lord and to everyone who belongs to the Savior. If you and I fail to love one another according to the Word of God and the will of God, we're going to be ashamed of it when we stand before him in the day of judgment. The 18th verse of our chapter can certainly tell us we shall have nothing to fear when we meet the Lord. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casteth out fear. But let us face the facts. Again, let me state, it is possible that Christians may well be fearful as to what the Lord will say when thus they stand before him, and with correction and rebuke, he will reveal the loss that we have suffered before his beamer or the judgment seat of Christ. The saint who will stand in concern then and in fear before the Lord in that day will definitely be ashamed of himself and of herself. Such an one, we must confess, will prove they have not had the experiences they should have done of the fullness of God's love within his and her heart and life, and has not maintained a spiritual life. My beloved fellow believer, I cannot emphasize too greatly the importance of living as God would want His children to live. Let us close with an earnest note for our consideration, we who are the children of God. If we fail to love one another, if we fail to permit God's love to rule, to reign within and over our lives, we shall be held accountable for it, and we shall well deserve the merited rebuke and the eternal loss that will be involved when our Savior judges in regard to the bestowing of His rewards for the works that we have done in the body while we've been upon the earth. He will appraise both good and bad in our lives and reward that which is good. May God the Holy Spirit awaken His people to realize our great responsibility, not only love Godward, but love to one another, and allow the love of God to reign and to rule within our hearts and lives for His honor and glory, and for the happiness of our own souls and lives, for the blessing and the edification of His dear people in the family. And beloved, let me say, there'll be some of this love going over the wall to reach the unsaved, for the blessing of souls to be found in Christ. God help us to obey His exhortation, love one another. Father, we pray the Holy Spirit will take the truth that we have given, seal it home to every heart and conscience. In the name of the Lord Jesus and for His glory, we humbly but earnestly pray. Amen.